What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. It is your show. For those of you who are familiar with the Sports Card Strategy Show, this is your show. This is where you have submitted, you, the audience, have submitted what you want to show us and what you want to tell us about. And for those of you not familiar, welcome in. We love new family members to the nooffseason.com Sports Card Strategy Show family. And this is the Thursday show. So for those of you new to the network, Sports Card Strategy Show does the main show on Mondays, where myself and my co-hosts Lefty and Chad and some others give you our sports card strategy. We help you make money flipping sports cards, give you all of our advice and our insights, and engage with you, the audience. But this show is your show on Thursdays. And if you want to get into it, you can email me at paul@nooffseason.com and I'll tell you how. And you can submit to the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. Whether you have a business in the hobby that you want to promote, or whether you are a flipper collector, you want to flip to fund your PC, and you want to share with us what you're doing, ask us questions. So first thing we're going to do is give a shout out to our show sponsor, Graybo's Sports Cards in Richmond, Virginia. They are an amazing hobby shop in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia, and they also break five nights a week on Drip. Check them out on Drip. And if you want to save 10% on all of their sports cards, go to graybos.co and use the promo code STRATEGY2023. That would be amazing. All right, everybody, let's get into... First, I'm going to go around the horn. I like to go around the horn and say hello to everybody in the comments. I see a new name, Infinity Trader. What's up, Infinity Trader? Welcome to the nooffseason.com family. He says, hey, I'll love your show. Probably the best sports card show podcast. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we like to hear, Infinity Trader. That's what we strive to be. We strive to provide value. Our mission statement is to provide value to the audience, not just talk about ourselves, not just banter, not just talk about nonsense, but to provide value to the audience. And so, good to hear. He says, I have a question. One of you guys mentioned to sell all Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Bijan, or other top NFL rookies because of the college and anticipation of NFL product. Yeah, we'll take some questions off the top here at the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell before we get into it. Yeah, that's right. I mean, these are, you know, the context around that, Infinity Trader, is that college uniform cards. So Bowman Chrome First Prospect cards, Bowman Chrome University, very valuable, very flippable. Investable might be the wrong word, because investable kind of implies that it's a long-term thing, whereas you know, you've got short-term flippability. Short-term flippability is what we're looking for, and that's like a you know, 3 to 12 month window. That's what we specialize in. And what happens with the college uniform cards is that they're the first of many. And when the others come out with the pro uniforms, the value typically always plummets. Even if it's like a big card, even if it's like a, you know, out of 10 or an out of 5 auto, even if it's like a high graded card, It's gonna come down, because the pro uniform stuff is gonna be more desirable. So to sell for the maximum profit for those cards, even though Anthony Richardson, Bijan could kind of pop off at the beginning of their career, they could also get injured. That's the other factor. So they could also get injured or not play as much as we thought. So to capitalize on the rookie hype and to capitalize on the fact that there's not as much competition in the market for those cards, and the market will be flooded with their pro uniform cards, that's why we recommend selling. NFL product, he says, Infinity Trader elaborated, says NFL product won't come out until next year, so a lot of idle time during the season with only their college cards. So I disagree. Why sell cards when their NFL stuff won't come out until later? I mean, that's true. It's also, like I said, the hype cycles and the trends in the market, the data dictates that prices do go down in October, November, and December. So to capitalize on the hype of the NFL season and to mitigate the risk of potential injuries, that's also why we're marrying that together. So the pro cards coming out, I agree with you, that they don't come out until later. So there is a longer runway, which is another reason why I like those cards. So again, if we're talking about a guy that, you know, if you do hold a CJ Stroud or a Bryce Young a little bit longer and they do play well, you're taking the risk. You're doubling down on the risk. And that's fine. That's up to you. So if you disagree and you want to hold those guys and you want to hold Bijan because he might pop off, that's fine. But what we advise is that you don't, what we like to tell you is that you don't have to take the risk. You can capitalize on the hype cycle, crystallize the investment, mitigate the risk, profit, and just take the X factor out of it. We like to try to take the X factor out of it. And so I think, you know, Infinity Trader, you make a good point. You can certainly hold on until right before the NFL stuff comes out. But I will point out that some NFL stuff has already come out for some of these guys. Andy Kaysen from Football Card Quest pointed out to me at our meet and greet. Graybos did a great meet and greet for our audience and friends of the show at Crust Brewing on Thursday night last week at the National. And Andy Kaysen came over to me and showed me his eBay account, and Panini has created some special rookie premiere holos. They're not optic holos. They don't have the optic logo on them. They don't, but they do have the rated rookie logo and the Panini logo. And it's a rookie premiere only short print. Those are selling on eBay. And that's already competition for the Bowman Chrome University cards. And then there's also, keep in mind, there's like Panini Prism draft picks and stuff like that. So you're going to have autos of these guys. You're going to have serial numbered Prism cards of these guys, even though they're in their collegiate uniforms. And Donruss Pen Pals comes out pretty early too, I think. I mean, so we'll see. We'll keep you updated on that. Good point, Infinity Trader. Appreciate you. Great to start off the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell with a little strategy Q&A. I love it. A lot of value here on the show. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. Chad Gill, good morning. Oh My Shoes, good morning. Mark Drzezinski, good morning. Cleo Cards, good morning. Cleo Cards on the third cup of coffee already. Shoes is like, who's got the coffee? Chad is lit this morning. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, Rocky Empire Sports Cards, love you. Good to see you in the chat. All right, Shoes is not feeling well, but don't worry. For those of you who are familiar with the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, you know Shoes, and he typically is our cleanup hitter on the show. And I believe we have something from him, so stay tuned for that. Mark Drzezinski says, how do we feel about PSA authenticated autos versus Bowman authenticated autos? Both are on card, but the price is way different. Okay, so Mark, this is a good question. We'll take some more Q&A. I love it. We got some strategy here happening and some QA happening at the top of the show. So we'll roll with it, because the show is all about you guys, the audience, and we want to provide the most value. That's our mission statement. So Mark, I think I know what you're talking about here. Kendall and I advise the audience not to get tricked, not to get tripped up by eBay listings. If you were to go search for like a Jackson Churio Bowman Chrome First Auto, you might see some Topps authenticated autos that are pack pulled, and you might see some on-card autos that are PSA DNA certified autos that are not pack pulled. They do not say Topps certified autograph issue on them. This is very important. Don't buy the card unless it says Topps certified autograph issue. So even though PSA has authenticated an auto, we call that like an in-person auto or an event signed auto. After it's being pulled out of the pack, after it was pulled out of the pack, those just aren't worth as much. They're just not going to be worth as much. People don't want to pay. The market has spoken on those cards, and that's why they're listed for less. That's why there's not as many bids on them. That's why the bids are lower. They sell for less. They're not going to be in the short-term flippability window or the long-term holding window. They're not going to be worth as much. The market wants the Bowman Topps authenticated certified autograph issue that goes in the packs that you pull out of the pack. They're just harder to get. That's why there's less of them. So it's all about scarcity. Scarcity and rarity drive desirability. And that's the real answer. It's not that Jackson Churio or Jackson Holiday or whoever, whatever top prospect didn't actually sign that card. They did. But the reality is that you can take a base Chrome Bowman first of Jackson Holiday and you can take it to a double A game and there's a chance he'll sign it for you. And you could take 20 of them and maybe he signs 20 of them, but it's harder to, there's not as many that you can pull out of the pack. And so that's why. So we don't feel good about anything other than the ones that say Topps certified autograph issue. Mark, I hope that helps. Craig's Cards 11, met him at the National. That dude brings some fire. Good to see Craig's Cards 11. Brian Steeler 714. Yes, met him at the National. We had a moment where I knew it was him, even though I had never seen his face, never seen a profile pic, never seen anything that would indicate that it was Brian Steeler 714. Although if Lefty were here, he would say, dude, he was wearing a Steeler shirt and hat. But I just knew it was him. So Steeler 714, what's up? He says, Steeler, I think, is from Michigan because I saw a Michigan cell phone number area code from him. So I think he and I are both from Michigan. Steeler says Detroit at KC to open the season. Detroit 1-0. Love it. That's awesome. Janelle Shu, good morning to you. Janelle is a strong new member of the family. So good to see you. So Mark says, Mark Jasinski, back to Mark. We're getting through the comments here before I get into the first submission from our audience. He says, so when I turned in my cards to PSA at the National, they had me replace all my penny sleeves that I had on tabs like Dr. Chad recommended. He said they don't like that. Okay, interesting insight. So for those of you new to the show, Chad Gill has submitted some show and tells before where he puts tabs on the penny sleeves, thinking that it's easier for the grader to get it out. Mark bringing the insights here on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, saying the audience actually, or PSA actually doesn't like that. That's interesting. Lonnie Conley, good morning to you. Lonnie Conley is one of the more intelligent audience members. No offense to everybody else, but Lonnie just knows what's up and knows where his lane is in terms of the flipping game. So he's always bringing the insights. Lonnie, good to see you. And yeah, no, Rocky, Brian did not look like, well, actually Brian kind of looked like his profile pic, looked like a badass. And his pic looks like a badass. So that's cool. Chad is adding, if you get an on card in-person auto graded and the card graded and it's a 10-10, then they will have similar values, possibly even more than an authentic auto. That makes sense. I could see that. So that's a good point. Back to Mark's question. Chad's basically clarifying, like, if you get the card graded and the card and the auto are both a 10 and it wasn't pack pulled and it doesn't say top certified autograph issue, it still could be worth as much, if not more, than the pack pulled auto. But again, that I think that that is an element of rarity because there's not that many 10s. There's not that many 10-10s. So love that. we need to get Nanette on the show. Everyone in the comments is calling for Nanette. So Nanette, if you're out there, like, you've got a lot of fans in the comments. So clarifying, tabs or no tabs, I think is the question. All right, everybody, let's get into it. I'm excited. We got a lot of great stuff going on already on today's show. So speaking of Chad Gill, he's leading us off. So Chad, what do you got for us today on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, man?
Good morning, Sports Card Strategy Show and Tellers. Well, the National is done. I didn't get much picked up at the National. I did get one card from Lefty and one from Paul, but I could have done that without going to the National. So I'm going to show you, I got home and had quite a few cards in the mailbox. So I'm going to show you some of the cards that I've been picking up. Hope you enjoy. All right, let me show you what I've been picking up here. I've got we'll do it this way so we don't get the glare. Orange cracked ice Jordan Poole rookie card. Jason Dominguez chrome first. Desmond Bain silver prism. Vladdy chrome first. Shea rookie silver wave. This is the card I got from Lefty. Huge shout out, thanks Lefty for the card. This is a Bowman Chrome Albert Pujols rookie. Michael Jordan hologram die cut. Tyrese Maxey rookie. Another Tyrese Maxey rookie. Jackson Churio paper base. James Wood paper base. James Wood paper base. James Wood chrome first. Wander Franco silver prism rookie. George Valera mojo. Justin Crawford base first. Caminero base first. Caminero mojo first.
Love the Camineros.
And then I got a bunch of Drew Jones cards here.
There we go. This Drew is a Jones.
Lefty special, but this is going to be for grading. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I bought a 7-card lot of Drew Jones. I've already got 20 of these at PSA getting graded. I've got a Russell Wilson white paper base rookie.
Looks good.
I got a turkey red Ichiro Suzuki. This is for Paul. I got a Paul special, a Cam Thomas optic hollow rookie.
That's my guy.
This is a Jerry Jeudy rookie ticket red, numbered to 49. This is a J.K. Dobbins, purple mosaic.
That's nice.
Numbered to 49. That's a PSA 10. And then these last four are just to show you that you don't always need to buy expensive cards to make money and flip. These were some real inexpensive cards. A LaMelo Ball green prism PSA 9. A Jackson Jr. silver prism PSA 9. An Anfernee Simons red ice PSA 9. And a Wendell Carter Jr. silver prism PSA 10. Those are all cards that I will be flipping. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. Those are the cards that I've recently picked up, along with some of the other plays that we've been writing about that are in the mail that have not gotten here yet. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just to recap, Chad, a few things there. Drew Jones caught my eye because left. That's where Lefty and I differ. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Lefty, and Lefty, I'd say he hates Drew Jones. We had a debate on a couple different episodes. And then we had Aram Layton on from justbaseball.com. So you got to go back into the library and check out that episode. But we talk about Drew Jones there. I like Drew Jones. Lefty does not. Chad is buying Drew Jones. So Chad might be siding with me. We might need to alter the Aaron Rodgers bet, Chad, with Lefty on Monday's show. We might need to make sure that Lefty has to, if he loses that bet, he has to come up with some sort of Drew Jones apparel that he has to wear. We'll figure that out later. But anyway, the Tyrese Maxey shoes likes that. I like that. I made some money off of those exact Tyrese Maxey cards earlier this year. So I like that, Chad. And then great insights on at the end there in terms of I love the LaMelo Ball green prism PSA 9, like a slightly off base card that has a little bit more rarity to it, but that is inexpensive because of its grade. But LaMelo, I think, could pop off and you could make some money off of that and list it at the right time. So Chad says, my 20 card order of Drew Jones took 42 cards to find 20 good ones. So that was basically in response to Rocky Empire's question in the chat about, were they in good condition? So that gives you some insights into Chad's pre-grading. You know, he's not just grading every single card that he buys. He's running it through his filter, his loop, his 10-time magnifier, his centering tool, which you can go to nooffseason.com and under grading tools, you can click on the link there and buy the ones that Chad and I have. Lonnie says that he agrees where there's a lot of Drew Jones cards where they're off center to the right. He has two in for grading. So also Chad getting some love, Valera sneaky. Lonnie has about a dozen waiting for the call up. So, you know, Lonnie's selling at the call up. We love it. Again, shout out to PSA, shout out to Nanette in customer service. Great job. Maybe you could answer the question on the tabs for us. Brian Steeler 714 says, "Hey Paul, when does the Overflow show from Monday come out?" Brian, great question. The Overflow show comes out every Friday. So if you go to nooffseason.com, and scroll down, under the buy and sell portion, you've got all the Overflow shows right there. So every single Overflow show is posted every Friday. So tomorrow there will be another Overflow show that will get posted on the website. Also Brian, on YouTube. So I know you're a premium member on YouTube, which is a little bit different. So you should be able to go to YouTube right now and you should see the Overflow show on YouTube, as a premium member on YouTube. So, shoot me an email, Brian. If you don't see it, I'll help you get it, but it should be up there. And, I think it was posted, maybe early Saturday morning because we were at the National and it took me a little bit longer to get to that. But, every Friday Overflow show, for those of you, subscribed on Spotify, same thing. For those of you subscribed on YouTube, same thing. And for those of you premium members on the website, they're going to be posted on the website every Friday. So Overflow Show is a great show. It's premium members asking questions and myself, Chad, Lefty, and sometimes Chase from Texas Roadshow Shop are answering your questions. And that's going to continue to get better and better. So yeah, Steeler's going to subscribe to the website. That's great. So for those of you not familiar, we just have a ton of premium content on the website and you can get unlimited personalized advice on the website, by going to nooffseason.com and upgrading to premium. You get a free 30-day trial. So check it out. All right. Speaking of premium members, Rocky Empire Sports Card is a premium member and Rocky is up next. Andrew, what do you got for us, brother? He's got the slick looking intro because he's got some video skills. For those of you listening, I'm filling the gap before Andrew takes over.
I'm going to start this week by showing you a logo that you probably are familiar with. I'm going to start off with the premium pack from my recent membership with nooffseason.com. I'm really happy to be a member and thank you for the welcome pack. Obviously, all the content is worth it without the pack, but as a collector of sports cards, obviously getting more stuff is obviously what I like. So very happy with it. Thank you very much. Let me show you a couple of things that I did get. So there was about five loose packs in there. There was two retail Bowman packs, 2022, little Ellie Hunt. That was very nice. There was two packs of Topps Chrome Sonic 2022 Hobby. And there was one pack of NBA Hoops 2022, I believe. Forgive me. I don't remember. And I didn't have the patience to open it on camera.
2022, 2023.
Nonetheless, no hits out of the Bowman. No hits out of the Hoops. But fun to look for Ellie for a minute. And out of the Topps Chrome Sonic, which I had the least hope for, honestly, pulled this Brandon Woodruff out of 199 here. Topps Chrome Sonic is not an easy thing to hit anything out of. So when I saw that there was a parallel in there, I was pretty excited. Pretty cool.
That was from Graybo's. Graybo's put those in the premium packs. Yeah. So good work.
Fun to hit anything. Next one up here, we got Brandon Miller. He was recently drafted by Charlotte in the first round of the NBA draft. And a little while before then is no longer the person of interest or a person of interest in a murder investigation. So he's on the definite upward trajectory for sure. Had a huge game about a week ago, like right when I got the card, tried listing it immediately. And some actually were selling for like 10, 15 bucks, but maybe I'll hold on to this and make it part of a bigger play and get him graded. He's looking pretty good, and I think his hype is only going to build. So next guy, we got a little Judah Mintz. And I'll be honest, I didn't know who he was, but I'm definitely going to tell you some facts about him as if I know who he is or if he – but from what I looked up now, really cool card, obviously having a gold Ray Wave refractor out of 50 on the first Bowman here. Judah will be returning to Syracuse in the fall, and – He will be leading the Orange Men team out there, hopefully to be one of the primary scoring options on the team, and hopefully, you know, move up in his current draft projections. He's looking like a second round pick, but some hope that with the coach this year could really expand his talents and, you know, push him out to play out there on the wings and
hey, be gold auto out of 50, gold Ray Wave auto out of 50 from the premium
definitely
pack.
The guy that I'll be watching, and
love
so
it.
I really just appreciate the I don't know, like the forced knowledge there, I guess. On now I have people I'm going to follow I had no interest in before, and I'll probably
hey,
follow
that's
these guys for the rest
that's
of their
what cards is all about
for the
sometimes.
Rest of his career.
Love
so,
it.
That's pretty cool. Last up, and certainly not least here, we got two slabs of Michael Jordan, two PSA 6s, 92 Ultra, and the 92 Upper Deck. And the thing I like about these two cards is that I probably would have never bought these for myself. But now that I own them, I'm really happy to own them. And I even have a Jordan just sitting right over here that I always just look at because I just like to look at it. Yeah, great card
nice.
To own. And maybe motivate me to, I don't know, maybe start building a bigger collection of him.
From the premium pack. Good
reminds
work.
Me.
Good work, Rocky.
Is this part of that collection? I found this when I was picking through my stuff and looking for more cards to post on eBay. And I pulled a Michael Jordan card, authentic autograph from Sage. This is the one, right? This is the autograph that I was talking about?
Wow.
No?
That's great. All right. For those of you listening, yeah, you got to come check out the YouTube video to see what he's talking
so
about.
I just got a tag submission back that I wanted to share with everybody. My first order with tag.
Ooh.
And I am really happy. I love gimmicks, maybe. I love good packaging. You know, maybe I'm a sucker for things like this, but you give me a sticker, I'm thrilled. But overall, great experience. Obviously, these weren't graded. One of them was miscut, which is unfortunate. I had a Jeter card I submitted that was miscut, and then the Devonte Adams card, that winning ticket, was too thick to be graded, but 8 did come back graded. I do know the grades already, so this wasn't like a reveal or anything like that. Let's watch me get on the struggle bus to try
cool.
to open
like
plastic
intact.
Like I've never opened anything before in my life. Da, 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 da.
This is the first time I've ever seen tag.
So the first card I'm opening here is really the favorite card. The reason that this was initially why I wanted to submit anything to tag to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy I did. Joey Votto, Cosmic Chrome, Stargaze Auto Orange at a 25.
Wow.
This card is one of the cards that I've pulled that I just went, oh my God, this card's gorgeous. And I think I was right. I think it really does look good in the clear slab. So show you the rest of it here.
This is great, Rocky. Seriously, thank you for submitting
I just
this.
Got a tag submission back. So I keep refilming this part of the video because I keep just staring at the screen and just staring at the slabs as I'm trying to show them. But all in all, I'm super happy with tag. And I got to say, these slabs are really pretty. I'm going to show you the from worst grade I got to the best. I got a Lewis Hamilton 2022 Topps Chrome Green Refractor at a 99, 7.5. You see there, it got a 7.95. The other thing I did before I submitted this was I kind of sat down, and when I was prepping them out to send them, I knew what cards I was going to send. I wasn't trying to decide if I was or wasn't going to send it, but I just wanted to see how good my eye was. And this card and the next one I'll show you were the ones that gave me the most concern as far as, okay, these are a little jacked up. Like, these probably won't get good grades. I was a little disappointed, but I think they look so good. I don't even really care what the number says right now.
Yeah,
when
I know. I
one.
Agree.
That just looks awesome in there. Next one up, another green one. We got a Sauce Gardner rookie Panini Honors green out of 25. And 8.5
cool,
on this
man.
One. And I saw it. I mean, there's a lot going on in the background of this card. Maybe the artificial intelligence is too good for a card with that kind of detail going on and the chrome behind it. But again, I mean, it still looks great in this case, I think. But
I'm just curious as to how they sell them secondary.
I keep having to take them out of the plastic too. Keep slowing me down a little bit because you can see it gets that little extra glare. You don't get the same full effect. But got a little Matsui Stadium Club chrome. Tried to see what the blue would look like. I thought this would look better. I mean, this was probably a little ambitious that I don't know how good I thought it was going to look. But and this next one, I got a Tatis out of 25 here. This one is the 1965 redo insert black refractor. Another one that looks really good to me. I love the way the color pops in this, and I love how the light goes. But let me go a little bit quicker here. I don't have to take them all out. Rivera, 21 Tops X Sports Illustrated cover.
That's cool. I like the Tops X Sports Illustrated. That's kind of underrated, perfect, I think.
That's the other part of it. The dig reports. I'm not going to pull everything up right now, but those dig reports are incredible. You see everything. I mean, you know exactly what they're talking about and why. Otani on the pristine gold refractor out of 50. another one where this one I'm real curious. Once it starts getting up around here, now it starts getting where I'm like, okay, if it's a good enough card, you know, are we cracking this? I've also seen some things online about how hard these are to crack. So I'd be more than happy to donate one of these cards to Chad for the sake of science.
Yeah, that would be great, man. That would be great.
That was the right way to do it. But
good content.
Anyway, this was my second best card was the Votto. I think this last one is the last one worth taking out. But anything with that shine just really stands out. And this card has some great lines on it. I was really happy that this card got as high of a grade as it did with the 962. Seeing how hard everything else was graded, it gave me a good vibe knowing that this card was in as good a condition as I immediately thought when I saw it. This is a great one. Not to mention Joey Votto, possibly should be a huge future Hall of Famer. Last card, speaking of future Hall of Famers, Mike Trout, Gold, Bowman 2013. Sick. This is a weird one to get graded. I know that. I think it's also a weird one out of this whole order to get a 968 and pull the highest grade. But the value that I found in this one is I bought this on Whatnot, and the streamer was just going on and on about how perfect of a condition the card was. And I thought it was weird. I never really heard him do that before. Bought the card. And I feel like now I have a little cue to know a little bit better idea if he's bullshitting or not. So anyway,
yeah, very cool. This card, very great idea.
Yeah, a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun to submit it, get the reports, and I will definitely be grading more with them, and I'm just hoping that the value picks up as I think it should. I mean, look how I don't know.
I would agree. I think there's a couple different things.
I really wanted the cards to just do most of the talking this clip. Obviously, I can't let that happen. Can't stop talking. But with that said, I will be using Tag again for sure. I think that they look great, and I think that the customer service was great. Turnaround time was good. $14 is a great price to get this done. And for the quality that it looks, I'm hoping that the market and the values start to follow, because I can't find the issue with this right now. I'm struggling to find the negatives, and that's why I think I'm struggling putting this video part together.
All right. Good work, Rocky, Andrew, Rocky Empire Sports Cards. Great work. Check him out. Rocky Empire everywhere. Follow him on Instagram and YouTube. And I'll say a few things about that submission. I think, first of all, great job, Andrew. I love the rolling up of your sleeves and trying things yourself. So Andrew took the initiative to try Tag. He said that he heard about it from us on the Sports Card Strategy Show, talking about how cool it looked at the National. I also spoke about TAG when I did some scouting out at the Mint Collective. I saw them and I met up with Jeremy Lee, did an episode with Jeremy Lee on our channel, and talked about TAG. And so good to know that you guys are kind of checking out what we're talking about. Appreciate that. And reporting back to us, I think that's a huge thing. Like Andrew reporting back to us, Rocky Empire Sports Cards, with some analysis and some takes on his experience with TAG. Very, very valuable for the rest of the audience. That's our mission statement. We try to provide value to the audience. That's all we care about. And Andrew bringing the value. Love that. Great work. Curious to see what they sell for on the secondary market compared to some of the other slabs that are out there, some of the other grading companies. Wondering if the lack of tens, as Chad Gill has sort of reported unofficially to me behind the scenes, that there's a lack of tens, drastic lack of tens with TAG. And could that affect their ability to sell on the secondary market for higher prices? The market will tell us. I mean, the market will tell us, does a TAG 9 end up selling very high? Does a TAG 10 end up selling more like a pristine 10 or a gold label 10? We'll see. I mean, time will tell. Does PSA end up acquiring TAG? That's a hypothesis. That's a hot take. We don't know. We don't have any behind the scenes knowledge. But Chad and I have talked about that possibility. Does TAG take over as the number one best selling slab on the secondary market because of how enthralled people are with it? Like Andrew's experience there. So phenomenal. Andrew says, yeah, the Jeremy Lee episode is when I scouted the next TAG drop and bought that 10 card submission. So thanks again, Sports Card Strategy Show. You got it. You got it, brother. Thanks to you. Nice work. Nice work. Would be curious to see, you know, if we can get some data around how TAG slabs are selling on the secondary market. Would love it if we could crack a TAG slab. So Andrew, if you're willing to donate one of your lowest ones or one that you don't care about as much, if you're not, maybe I'll do it. I have no problem trying things. But great work there. And Lonnie Conley is going to try TAG for just some PC stuff because he likes the look of the slab. So good work. All right, up next. This is a funny one. Ryan Painter is one of many people who have asked me how to tear the Sports Illustrated for Kids cards out. And so I've tried to give little tips on the show here and there. I haven't done like a full tutorial on how to do it, but I've like described it several times on the show when people have asked. And so Ryan decided he was going to try it himself. So we'll see how that turned out. Ryan, take it away.
All right, show and tellers. Ryan is back. My last submission, I was asking, how do I get these things out? I appreciated the feedback. Let's give it a shot here. All right, so the first thing he said was, Paul said was to tear this one out. Bye-bye, ladies.
So he's tearing off the cover of this recent issue. This is the issue with Caleb Williams.
Tear those out.
Dylan Holland. Tearing off the pages. Oh,
okay.
Yep,
okay, this is going to come off right on its own.
So you get to the card.
I'm sure I'm messing this all up, but hey, we're giving it a shot. Okay, so
we try things here.
Yeah, it's almost okay. Show.
And then people can learn from our mistakes.
We're trying to get the staple out, is what we're trying to do, and it is out. Okay, bye bye. Now we're down to this
card sheet.
Okay, so it looks like there's a perforated edge. So I'm gonna try to cut. I'm gonna try to. Oh, Natasha, I don't want to mess you up. What should I be doing here, guys? Okay, the staple. He said the staple. Okay, so we're going to take this staple out. Oh, boy.
Ryan struggled.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You got to.
Well,
gotta,
if any of these cards had value, they probably don't anymore. Let me take this out.
So what? Okay, so let me stop right there. So Ryan is tearing the perforation of the sheet that's connected to the card sheet. I wouldn't do that. I would finesse the entire sheet itself so that it comes off of the staple. So Ryan tried to pull one of the staples out himself, which isn't a bad idea. It's just not really what I was talking about. I might need to do like a I might need to do a video on this, but this is funny. So Shu says invest in a staple puller. That's not a bad call, actually, because it would just pull the sheet right off. But let's see how Ryan continues to do, because like you don't want to do what Ryan's doing right now, because then you don't have any room to work with on the side if you're trying to pull off the card on the side. So Ryan, keep going, man.
Paul Hickey, help me, man. I'm clueless. Take that page out. All right. So it looks like we're down to one staple here.
He kind of redeemed himself here, actually.
And it's out. All right. So here we go.
Yeah.
We got our page. We're going to get.
Now he just has less perforation on the left-hand side. That's the only problem, which could be okay, but it would have been ideal to keep the attached card sheet on the left, so that as he's trying to get, you never know, like if the most valuable card's going to be on the left or if it's going to be in the middle or on the right. So if it's on the left, that's a tricky one. And now he's put himself in a precarious spot with the Caleb Williams card on the left, but let's see how he does.
Get Minka Fitzpatrick first, because I can't imagine that is a very valuable card. Oh, actually, okay, let's do this edge first.
Now all you're going to do is...
Oh, that's where the Caleb is. All right, here, we're going to do this top one first.
Try not to bend the card while you're increasing the
perforated. Okay, I see it, the perforated edge.
Yeah, there you go.
Caleb, don't die on me, buddy. Okay, so we're gonna put a little pressure on there. Oh, I really haven't been looking at my camera. Hopefully it's been centered. If not, this is gonna be a really bad show and tell. It's already a pretty bad show and tell. Okay, so there we go. Boom. And you said we're just gonna keep going back and forth on that perforated edge.
The audience loves it, Ryan. Like Shoes and Lonnie love it.
And we're going back and forth it. While we do this. I want to give you the L of the week. I'm from Ohio. I'm 47.
Rocky
apparently not that smart, because my wife, we're going on a 20-year anniversary trip, which is actually our 22nd year of marriage. But COVID was during our 20-year. And she said, I want to go to the ocean. I said, okay. So I talked to my friend who had a timeshare. Long story short, I'm like, oh, let's go to Palm Springs. So he set the whole thing up for Palm Springs. Only to find out, Palm Springs is not by the ocean. It's by the desert. It's 118 degrees, folks. So, anyway, it's still, hey, life's pretty good. All right, I'm actually going to try to do this. I think I've butchered my first round, but that's okay.
Don't tear it like that. Don't tear it like that. Oh, that's okay. Horrible. Okay, you just totally risked everything. What you want to do, so Ryan just like tore it like a sheet of paper, and he actually got lucky, but like it could, the way that he just tore it is that you could rip, like without knowing it, you could like rip a part of the bottom or top of the either of the card off. And so like what you want to do is like put it down flat on the desk. And then once it's like, you need to bend the perforation enough to where it's like, it's almost going to like rip off itself. Like you can work the perforation so that it tears like so easily. And then all you need to do is put your hands on the desk and just spread your hands apart on the desk on top of the cards. And you just tore it like a sheet of paper. So, wow. Okay. Let's keep going, Ryan.
Okay. There we go, folks. So yeah, but life's pretty good when your L of the week is you're going to Palm Springs for a week. Pretty good life, pretty fired up. So
good life.
We're excited about it. And there we go. I thought this would go a little quicker, guys. Sorry.
That's good. You're doing great. People are watching.
4 minutes already.
We're ripping Sports Illustrated for Kids cards on the Sports Card Show.
Well, you guys can tell me how I did. I'll just do these for right now for the show and tell, because I can tell you're
probably
you don't want 5 more minutes of me bending the card back and forth. But here we go, Minka.
These are going to get ones.
Oh, man. Okay, there we go. Oh, Freddy got a little bent there. Not bent, but curved a little bit. Come on, Freddy.
Okay, so he's got his fingers all over.
Am I doing this right? Should I be?
No,
is there a better way? I'm sure there's a better way.
Yeah,
a better way.
You need to be taking the edges of the card, like barely. You need to be, after you bend the perforation once, you need to just work it back and forth for a while, and then it just absolutely disintegrates the perforation. then you set it flat on the desk, and then you tear it across with your hands, like just by spreading your fingers apart. Ryan is like absolutely bending the crap out of the cards and then tearing it like a sheet of paper. Do not do what Ryan's doing right now.
Hey, so boys, let me know how I'm doing. And I look forward to your feedback. And then I'll do some research to see if I'm going to send these in. All right, one more for Natasha. We got to get this edge.
This is great. This is great. Ryan.
Oh, boy.
We love you.
Oh, come
on,
Natasha.
Hope you had a great anniversary trip with your wife. I hope your anniversary
trip. I feel like I'm manually bending this too much.
Was way better.
But we'll see
how you're ripping Natasha.
I don't know who Natasha Cloud is.
oh God! Yeah, I messed that one up.
We're not doing good. I hope Natasha is not the star. Okay, so the ones on the edge, closest in. Okay, yeah, that one's butchered. We're pitching that one. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, guys, clearly that's an F. But how'd I do on these other two, Paul? I look forward to hearing about it, and I'll do a little more practice before we get to Caleb.
You did.
All right, amazing. You guys rock. Enjoy your day, guys. I will be at not the beach, but at the pool later. Bye.
Yeah. So you did an amazing show and tell submission, Ryan, but you did god awful at actually tearing out those cards. You did everything the opposite way of what I was trying to say. But hey, good work. Really appreciate it. Hope you had a great trip with your wife. Keep the comments coming. Keep the content coming. And we love you. All right. Chad Gill has breaking news from Nanette at PSA, the customer service rep who's a fan of the show. We are a fan of you, Nanette. Nanette says, quick response to Chad. Chad says, quick response from Nanette. She said, in regards to the tabs, the question is, do PSA graders love or hate when you put tabs on the penny sleeves? Mark Drazinski came in and said, look, I was at the National. They advised me not to do that because the graders don't like them. We know that PSA has like probably thousands of graders. And so maybe even tens of thousands of graders now. And so Nanette is clarifying it with Chad. She says they took the top veteran graders to the National. She said the older guys hate the tabs. They think it is gimmicky. I can see that because nobody likes change except for us at the Sports Card Strategy Show. We're all about change. The market changes all the time. We absolutely adapt to the market. And then Chad says newer graders love it because they see it as helpful. She said 50-50. It will not affect the grade up or down, but Chad says, I guess it's not necessary. I can't believe we got a quick response from Nanette. Is she watching live right now? That's phenomenal. Especially if she's out in California, because it's very, very early for her. Anyway, Janelle Shu says, how much do the SI for Kids subscriptions run these days? They're like $20 for a two-year subscription, I believe, which gets you 12 issues. So there's 6 issues a year. Phenomenal feedback. Yeah, Shu's $20 for a year. Oh, $30 for two. $20 for a year, $30 for 2 years. Yeah. So, yep. Chad says, in regards to Ryan's video, this is how we all learn. Rocky loves it. Janelle Shu says, thanks, Shoes. I'm a shoe too. This is phenomenal. Rocky says, you can buy printing paper like postcard size. It's perforated in the middle and practice on those. That is a great, great idea. Lonnie Conley is laughing. Ziggy No in the comments. Hobby News Daily. Is that a new show, Ziggy No? Or have you done, you've done Hobby News Daily for a while now, but new profile pic. Hope you're doing, Ziggy, we still haven't collaborated on content, man. We might need to, I appreciate you popping in, brother. Good to see you. Ziggy says he's heard the same about tabs. He heard they actually cut the semis and throw them away and never use the tabs. That's what I've heard as well. I think I got that from somebody a couple years ago who submitted a lot to PSA and reported that back to me as well. So yeah, connect with me. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com. And I love that the audience is all connecting with each other through this. So speaking of connecting, we connected with Graybo's Sports Cards, and they are phenomenal at what they do. And they have a breaker named Seto. Seto is part of their content team. Graybo's is putting out a lot of content these days. Check them out. they have a podcast called Grabo's Giblets. And Seto is one of their breakers. He rotates in with Denny one time and the other guys on drip. And so I caught up with Seto at the National and filmed this show and tell because he had some National packs that he was ripping. And I also wanted to know, like, how do you get the National packs at the National? So Seto, take it away, man.
All right. Ripping a little Spectra T-Mall from 2022-2023. See if we can't get anything good. We only bought this so we could get the National packs. So we got a Steph Curry. That's not bad. We got a Jamal Murray, Trae Young, De'Aaron Fox, Isaiah Jackson rookie, and a Kyle Kuzma. I'm cool with the Kyle Kuzma, honestly. None of those are numbered. That's cool. And the reason we did this, for the Nationals packs. Let's go.
There we go.
Ooh! Oh, yeah. A Paolo to 99? We take that all day. Yeah, we take that all day. And then, I don't have any sleeves or top loaders. I don't know what to do with the cards now.
I got some.
Oh, sick. So we got a good pack there. See if we can't do it again. These packs are weird. Joker and Danica Patrick to $5.99.
Not bad. You get some.
Love that Paolo.
Interesting.
That's
stuff
a sick
in the
card.
National packs.
How do you get the National packs?
So you have to go to the Dave and Adams booth. They have a select couple of boxes you can buy. The only thing is once you buy a box, you have to take it to Panini and or Tops, and they will open the box, take the shrink wrap off, and then give you the packs. So it's
okay.
A pretty cool deal. It was worth it to me. I mean, that Paolo is probably going to cover the cost of the box. So fuck.
Yeah, good work, Seto. That was awesome.
Hey, guys, I'm just having fun
this
here.
This is Dave John. So Dave John was one of our interns at the National. And Dave has a really cool collection, specific PC that I wanted him to do a sports card strategy show and tell for you guys. So this was Dave at the National. He did a great job as one of our interns from the Chicago area with Signs of the Time Collectibles and nooffseason.com helping out at our booth 3216. So Dave, take it away. I think the audience is going to love this this PC of yours.
Hey guys, I'm just having fun here at the National, and Paul invited me to show you guys my exclusive collection of Topps On Demand 3D cards. I've been collecting since about 2018, and that's when the cards initially came out. And they're pretty cool cards. They come in 3D motion as well as the base cards. Now these are variations from 2020. This is there's about 50 of these, but this is a Mike Trout PSA 10, and they made 10 variations this year and every year. They're about to come out again in a couple of weeks with Topps. Here's a Frank Thomas.
Big Hurt.
And that's his rookie year. And some Aaron Judges. But they're pretty cool. They're pretty exclusive. A lot of the Chrome cards come out in out of 49, out of 99, 199, 399, 599. There's only, the first year, there's only 269 of this card ever made. And so it's pretty low pop numbers. And then they upped it to about 500 for year 2019, which had a Guerrero Jr. And then Tatis also. But you can see the 3D makes it really unique, the lenticular design. Got some others. Here's the 3D motion card that you can see. It's an O'Neal, so it kind of shows you. They make about, the first year they made 30 of these, and after that they made 20, and they're all rookies now. And so, like this year, this past year, they had Julio Rodriguez, O'Neal Cruz, and some of the other big rookies, Bobby Witt, and others. But very unique cards. If you guys are interested in these cards, you can find me on Facebook. I have the only Topps On Demand 3D Facebook page. Just go to type in Topps On Demand 3D baseball cards. Thanks a lot, Paul. Take care.
Yeah, great work, Dave. That was awesome. So Dave John, one of our interns at the National, showing off his Topps On Demand 3D baseball. That's kind of stuff like I don't even know is happening. And like so many different things in the hobby that I have no idea about. And that's why I love our community, because we're all learning from each other. So thanks again to Dave. That was really cool. And up next, speaking of learning from each other, one thing I learned at the National is that there are a lot of people under the age of 18 or 18 or younger that are just absolutely slaughtering the game, the flipping game specifically. And so one young man who was hanging around our booth quite a bit, his name Johnny, and his friend Brady are partners in flipping cards, and they've done it since they were 12 years old. So they have 6 years experience, which is about two more years experience than I have flipping cards, and they're only 18. And Johnny wanted to sit down with me and show me his cards because, I mean, he had some beauties. And so this next submission is a little long because I sat down with Johnny at the National and I asked him to break down how he flips cards and how he got to where he is today and what his plans are for the future. So here's Johnny and I talking at the National, and stay tuned because this is amazing. And we've got a few more submissions, one of which I think you know who it's from. So, but for now, Johnny, take it away. What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffSeason.com and the Sports Card Strategy Show. I've got my main man Johnny in the house. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Nice to meet everybody.
Yeah, and nice to see you again, man.
Yeah, it was fun yesterday, cracking slabs.
Cracking slabs. Johnny came by the booth yesterday, Wednesday at the National, and had some slabs to crack. You had a Luca. Was it an Optic Shock?
Yes, it was. It's an Optic Shock.
And what was the other card? Your buddy had a Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal. It was like a second-year auto. Nothing big, but still... definitely better roll than in a PSA 7 or 8.
Yeah. Special edition of the Show and Tell here from the National. Johnny is a big-time sports card investor. Are you more of a flipper or a collector?
I tend to flip the modern stuff. Yeah. And the vintage, I like holding on to because I think it's good long-term. Like all the GOATs, I don't really see them going down like anytime in the future.
Okay. So how long have you been doing this?
5 or 6 years. I'm 18 now, so I've been doing it since I was about like 12.
Yes, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So on our show, we literally all we talk about is how to make money flipping sports cards. So is that pretty much what you're focused on?
Yep. The modern stuff I love to flip. If you can buy, make 5% on a card within a couple of days, it's perfect.
Yeah, for sure. So what are like some of the top plays? Like what are your go-to plays for that? Does it depend on like time of year and like... Have things changed from year to year over the last 5 or 6 years for you?
For me, it definitely depends on the time of year with obviously the different seasons. Like buying NFL right before the NFL season at the wrong percentage obviously isn't a good play. Same thing with the NBA, MLB. But it's definitely changed. The hobby's evolved, and obviously the last 4 years have been crazy between the hobby going up so much, the hobby coming down so much. I think we're kind of in like a good area right now with where like you see some cards, like even some cards I have 3 or 4 years ago, you look at comps and it's like they're triple what they're worth now.
Yeah.
And so like obviously, I mean, there's been times where I look at cards and I'm like, dang, that's only that. That's that low. And you just got to adapt to it and realize that the market isn't where it was 2 to 3 years ago. And I think there's still plenty of money to be made in sports cards on the modern. Like I said, that making 5, 10, 15% perfect, especially when you're buying the higher end and mid end cards.
So you've been able to adapt, like from when you probably, I'm guessing if you've been in it for the last 5 or 6 years, you probably, things were easier to sell in 2021.
Oh, for sure.
And
yeah,
then it got a little bit more difficult.
For sure.
And
yeah.
You've adapted since then.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the most recent things, plays that you've made?
Some of the plays I've made recently to start, I picked up this raw at the Philly show a couple of months ago and graded it with BGS, and I got a 9.5.
Yeah, so. That's awesome.
Justin Herbert.
So for people listening on Apple and Spotify, give us an overview of the card. So it's a Herbert on-card auto.
It's a Herbert on-card Panini 1 out of 49 rookie patch auto. The subgrades are 9.5, 9.5, 9.5, and a 9 with a Beckett 10 auto. It's a pop one right now, and it's probably anywhere from that $2,700 to $3,200 value. And I think I bought it for like $1,200 raw, so I got really, really lucky on that one.
$1,200 raw, nice work. And then, walk us through the decision to grade it with Beckett. What's your thought process there?
It was encased when I bought it, and I really liked Beckett for the thicker cards. PSA sometimes is a more or less lenient on the corners and the edges. even though they're a little more lenient on the centering. So I saw it as an opportunity to get the Beckett 9.5. Obviously, a Beckett 10 and nowadays is almost impossible.
Yeah.
But I definitely thought, I was looking at the pop count. I didn't see a Beckett 9.5 in existence. And usually when you have a card like this, it's a decent-sized card, and it's a pop 2 and a 10. I thought, and it's worth about probably $1,000 less than it is a PSA 9.
Yeah.
So I saw the opportunity for a Beckett 9.5, and I just went for it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what is a good experience grading with Beckett, like turnaround time and everything?
Actually, I grade a lot with PSA. As you see, a couple subs with Beckett. And actually, unfortunately, Beckett was the slowest out of the three.
Okay.
PSA, they're right on. That was like a month and a week. But SGC's 5-6 day turnaround time, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
But Beckett, I think it ended up being 90 days for a 35-day sub. So it was a little unfortunate, but I'm glad to have the card back.
Yeah, you got good grades. So yeah. What's your plan to sell it? What are you thinking?
I have a couple people interested lined up. I think right now at the Nationals, the time to sell football. I definitely think based off past Nationals and after past Nationals, football cards have gone down significantly. It's really small margins after the National in football. And if you wait too long, you're obviously sitting with a quarterback who throws two interceptions. The card's worth half of what it was worth 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that pattern as well. Like, we've been talking a lot on our show recently about, like, leaving meat on the bone for more people.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like what you're saying is in line with what we've been talking about, where if you're selling now, like if you've been Holt, you've been smart to acquire it earlier.
For sure.
And now it's like a good time to sell because you get the opportunity to have a larger buyer pool because including the people who are a little bit later to the game.
For sure.
And are banking on Herbert playing well.
Yep.
You're taking the X factor of whether or not he plays well completely out of the equation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that.
I think Herbert's a good buy right now. I have a lot of Burrow, a lot of Allen, as does everyone else. T-Wall, Fields. I just think all those players, besides, I think Herbert's a little undervalued right now, but all the other players, I think they're just, I don't see much more room for them to go up. So I think right now, I'm more focused on, unless it's obviously any card at the right percent is a good play.
Yeah.
Because no matter what it's doing, that's what it's doing at the time. But I like buying basketball right now and holding it for a couple months. And then it's all just right times, right margins.
When do you sell basketball normally? Are you like October, late October when the season starts?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Right before the season starts or as players heat up. I mean, some of the rookies you can get into at good prices. And it's crazy. Like, I know for a fact that Desmond Bain, his prices last year before the season were next to nothing. I was getting his optic autos for $20-$30 and grading them, coming back 9s, 10s and selling them recently for up to $200. So it's like, they're small flips, but they add up.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so what else you got in the case there, man?
I PC a lot of vintage. So I got this Hank Aaron rookie card and a 2. It's a 2, but it's definitely a card that's affordable and it's a nice one. It's a nice
1954 Tops PSA 2.
Yep.
Great looking card.
Thank you. A 52 Maze is rookie year PSA 1. It's a PSA 1, but still, 52 Maze card. Everyone wants to have their collections.
I kind of like the look of the corners actually you can tell it's real vintage.
Yeah, I love the cards that they look like they've been loved.
Yeah,
like, you could tell this is a card that has gotten, it had the history to it, right?
Yeah.
You don't know whose hands it's been in, but you know that in the last 70 years, it's been definitely used and loved. So
yeah. Do you know off the top of your head what you paid for the Aaron and for the Mace?
The Aaron I got into it for a good price. The vintage margins are very small, but it's vintage, just like I said, my PC, so I don't mind holding on to them. The Aaron, I think I bought it for like $17, $17.50. And I want to say they're going around like 25 right now to 24.
Okay.
So you're doing
well.
Yeah, it's a good little flip. The Maze I paid really strong on just because it's a card I haven't had yet and I wanted it. I'm about to pick up a Maze 4 too. The maze, I think I paid $2,000 on, and I think it's going for like $2,200, $2,300. So
okay,
not much room there. Yeah, but it's still a decent.
It's like 10%.
Yeah, 10%.
At least it's not going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, exactly.
but even if it does for a little bit, you're okay holding it. Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
So you're 18 years old. So are you flipping to fund some of the vintage? Like, could you give me an estimation? I'm just curious. How much money, when you sell a card, are you considering, like, I'm going to take a percent out, put it in my bank account, and then take a percent out, put it into vintage, and then another percent out into more cards? Do you think that way, or how do you think through these decisions? Because you strike me as someone who's, like, very strategic.
What I do is I actually have a separate account for just cards.
Okay.
So, and I just like to see that build, and my personal money is, like, separate money. And I also have a partner who's like a brother to me. I've known him since I was 5 years old, and he does all the modern with me. The vintage, okay, strictly me. The modern, I like having a partner because me and him, it's not as much of a risk. It's obviously lower percentage when you buy, but if you're buying at 80%, sometimes you're really lucky, 75%, 85%, and you're selling and getting close to 95 to 100% just on liquid cards, like... if I was two examples.
Yeah, I met your partner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Wyatt?
Brady. He's
Brady, okay.
BW Sports Cards.
Yeah, that's it.
The really liquid cards, like just stuff you know you're going to be able to sell.
Is this stuff you guys are in on together?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
sweet.
Just the cards that you know you'll be able to get 95 to 100% for are cards, and when you buy them at 85%, and when you split them with somebody, it just made sense to do that because if the card drops a little bit, you're not taking as much of a loss.
Risk mitigation.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Sure.
Almost an insurance policy.
Yeah, I like it, man. So are you guys primarily buying, like, do you buy everywhere? Do you buy online, or are you primarily going to shows?
I buy online, a lot on Instagram. I used to buy a lot on eBay, and recently it's just so hard because you buy a car on eBay, and people always want to pay a percentage of that, and you're like, well, I can't do that because I got a seal on eBay.
Yeah.
But I can't give it to you for what I bought it for less on eBay. Whatnot used to be really good for buying. It's kind of slowed up a little bit, but I still think it's a good platform.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm curious, like, Whatnot for buying singles and slabs. Walk me through that experience.
So I did a lot of that last year. I haven't done as much of it this year, but when Whatnot was really strong, they still are. They're a great company. I sell on Whatnot. You can get decent prices on cards, like at the percentage you want, and good cards, but it's nice because you don't have someone knowing exactly what you paid for. So it's like you look at the cards on Whatnot and you're like, well, I bought that for, say it's a $200 card. I bought that for $160. I'm not going to have someone rip me apart like if I bought it for $160 on eBay.
Yeah.
That's what I like about Whatnot.
Makes sense. So do you have a username on Whatnot or Instagram that you want to share with the audience so people can connect with you?
My name on Instagram is J&J's Cards, so J&J's Cards. I started up with my dad. Now it's primarily just me. But, we have a good following on there. We run a lot of story sales and... have a lot of higher end posted there that I didn't bring with me to the National, unfortunately.
So I am a little bit jealous, envious of the fact, like, I wish I could go back to being 18 years old and like, or in your case, 12 years old and getting started, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like 12, 13 years old and getting started and being so focused and good at it the way you are. And like on our show, we try to basically teach and coach, you know, 30 to 45, 50, 55 year olds on it. So you're definitely helping school everybody, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing your cards and your knowledge. And,
of course.
And I guess one final question that I have for you, and then if there's anything else you want to share, feel free, is your sort of, like, being 18 years old and having done this for several years, do you see this as something you're going to do for the remainder of your life, like putting this amount of time into it? Or do you see, because I could see where you and Brady are going, where this could be like a career for you guys. Do you have aspirations in that regard?
So I go off to college next month, which is going to make it super tough because my college is about 4.5 hours away from where I live. So what I plan on doing is, I have a younger sister who's 2 or 3 years younger than me. I plan on having everything, like, obviously I've gotten this from mentors that obviously are a little bit older than me and went to college recently. And what they did is they had a setup where you can still run your platform through Instagram and stuff, and just have your siblings or your parents ship stuff
trusted out. Family members.
Yeah, trusted family members ship stuff out for you. Which so that's what I plan on doing. I would like to pick you back. The next couple months are going to be tough because I'm also doing a sport in college. So,
oh, what sport do you play?
I run track.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But it's going to be tough, but I definitely want to push through and hopefully do it for, I mean, you just look at the national here. You look at how many people came out. You look at how many people spent thousands. Like, I know I spent a good chunk of change to be here. So you look at how many people spend thousands of dollars to be here, and it's all for the love of cardboard.
Yeah. I'm glad we met up, man. I think the good thing about the hobby is that it is a hobby, and you can go do your life and focus on your being a student athlete and like getting that whole experience.
For sure.
And then like come back to this at any time.
Oh yeah, you can always.
And you've
come
got
back.
So many reps in that you'll be able to jump right back in even if you take a little break. So.
Exactly, I love it because I mean it's such a strong. It's probably one of the strongest hobbies, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's
really I love talking to you, Johnny. It's nice to meet you. And if there's anything we can do to help you out at all,
for
like,
sure.
Let us know.
The same thing.
Yeah.
You guys.
Anything else you want to add before you go out back to the show floor?
Not really.
Any other cards you want to show us?
We can leave off on this one. It's a love-hate relationship with him. But this is a
nice one. Dak Prescott NT. Is that a shield?
Shield 1/1, yep.
Shield 1/1.
Out of 2020 National Treasures.
On card auto. Okay, yeah. Tell us the story behind how you picked up that one.
So the story behind that one was I bought that one and a swoosh 1/1. Dak.
Oh, man.
In Dallas. That's like the thing you don't do. We were in Dallas, and that's like, you don't go
buying
to Dallas.
Cowboys in Dallas, yeah.
I got a good deal on it. The person I bought it from, I'm glad I could help him out. He needed a little bit of money, so there was a comp on it at $5,000. I think that's what he paid, so I got a decent seal on it.
So you're building up that bankroll, that sports card bankroll, enough to be able to invest in some high-dollar cards.
For sure.
And with the DAC sheet, so did you sell the swoosh yet?
I sold the swoosh. I think I got $2,600 for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you pay for the swoosh? Well, it was kind of like a bulk deal.
It was a bulk deal, yeah.
Yeah. Do you calculate that as kind of like dividing in two? Or if one's more of the deal, do you just say, this is the price I paid for the one, and it's more closer to the sticker price, and then you give yourself like half off on the second one kind of a thing?
Yeah, kind of. I usually just, my partner will be like, well, we're technically, like when you buy a $10,000 lot, well, we're technically into this at free because we sold every other card. I like to look at it as, no, this is what we paid. This is, I'm a numbers guy. So I like to look at what each card was valued at in the deal. And that's what we paid. Even if we bought a $10,000 lot at say 75%, 85%. That means every card had its own value. It doesn't mean if we got 90.
You have to assign a value to every card that is close to the value of that card, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
I like to spreadsheet everything right after I buy it, and it really helps out.
Same here, man. I love that you're doing that. So, shield-wise, when are you gonna sell that?
There's actually someone interested in it at the National. I think he wants to work a trade for it tomorrow night. So we'll see what happens with that.
Cool. So one of our friends is, did I tell you about Chase Krim, the Texas Roadshow cards? They're part of like Roadshow cards. They're in Dallas, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They might be like going back into that market. You might be able to get more from them or.
I'll definitely talk to him about it.
Or at least get their opinion on it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
My man, Johnny. Good talking to you, man.
Nice
appreciate
meeting it. You, like I said.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we got a new audience member in you and Brady, and we're always here to help you guys out.
For sure.
Okay, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Go enjoy the show.
I will. You too.
All right.
All right, Johnny from J&J's Cards. So everybody go give him a follow on Instagram, J&J's Cards. Lonnie wants to hook up with him. I know a bunch of you in the comments want to hook up with Johnny. So when you DM him on Instagram, J&J's Cards, tell him that you saw him on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, and that he did an amazing job, because he did. And appreciate all of your thoughts and comments about his investing strategy. I thought he would be amazing to talk to, and I think he was. So thanks, everybody. And I'm going to run through some B-roll now of our team at the National. So this is sped up a little bit, but you see the Signs of the Times collectibles booth. You can get a little bit more of a feel for where we were. We were set up about half of the space with Tim Larson's crew. There's Mosaic Joe, Mosaic Farmer Joe, cracking his own slabs in our booth. Had a couple of people doing that, which was cool. Lefty and myself and Harry, one of our interns, are preparing some slabs to be cracked by some patrons there. And appreciate everybody who stopped by the booth, booth 3216. We're cooking up some plans for next year's National. So if you have some ideas or some things that you want to potentially partner with us on at next year's National, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. There's also Culture Collision in Atlanta in January that I'm looking at attending. That would be a good show for me. There's also a show here in Franklin, Tennessee in September that I think I'm going to walk around and just have some fun at. Here's a Justin Herbert, a big slab that I cracked. I was a little bit nervous, but we got it out without damaging it. There's Harry and Alan, some of our interns. They sat down and did a podcast with us. This gentleman here, I was cracking a bunch of his slabs for the autograph signing. So there was a bunch of reasons why people wanted their slabs cracked. A lot of them were, I would say most of them were for the reasons why we talk about on this show, because they want to try to get a better grade either at the same grading company that it was slabbed at or at a different grading company. There's one, I was a BGS one I'm struggling with. I think maybe Chad came in and just absolutely pounded the corners of that one to help me out. But, you know, some of the reasons were unique to wanting to get autographs signed. And so thanks to the team. Really appreciate everyone's hard work. You see some of our loyal audience members there with Kendall, Chad, and I at the booth. I think it's fun to kind of run through this B-roll. John Keller, who's our big Justin Fields collector, who did a great job submitting to the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell his big Justin Fields reveal several weeks back. This is actually his video footage. He did a great job. So thanks again to our interns at the National. This is me in real time, taking my time with a slab, and Chad will laugh because it takes me about 3 minutes to crack this one simple slab, and it probably would have taken him about 3 seconds. So as we get ready for our final submission of the day, we're going to see how long it takes me to actually crack this slab. And I could play it for you in real time, but I'm actually going to speed it up here behind the scenes, and you'll just see me sort of frame by frame taking my time with this slab at the National, getting out the penny sleeve and top loader, sleeving it up, and giving it to the patron at the National, my new friend here. What's his Instagram handle? I've got it here. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to show you. There's Johnny, and here's some other still shots from the National. So that was, I want to give a shout out to this guy because he's a good guy. That was SAC Cards. So it's SACC with periods in between cards, and he's got a lot of good soccer cards. So that was cool meeting him. And now it is time for the one, the only, Oh My Shoes to bring us home. Shoes, what do you got for us this week, man?
Good morning, my dudes. I hope you all had a very fantastic National. Sorry your boy could not be there. And sorry if I sound different, guys. I am sick. I woke up at like 3 a.m. this morning, took some Tylenol, waited for the Tylenol to break the fever, and now I'm here giving you guys some sports card content. Any user, not going to be a long video today, guys. I really don't feel that well, but I knew that this show and tell was probably the most important because I knew all you guys went to the National and you all got some fire. So just letting you guys know, your boy got some fire too. To the case.
All right, Shoes, good day.
This week it's gonna be a little different, guys. I'm gonna show my cards first, and I'm still high on Hillbilly Kobe, so got some more. We have a 2021 Panini Prism number 165, Austin Reeves, red, white, and blue prism. It's not in the card saver one. It's a little off-centered. He will not be getting the 1-2 shakedown, unfortunately. Next up, we have a 2021 Austin Reeves, number 165, Silver Hollow. Now, this one is not getting the 1-2 shakedown because I believe on this side right here, there is some markage.
Yeah, it looks like a little scratch.
And last, we have the Silver Sparkle in the same card.
Austin Reeves collection.
Now, it was, funny enough, the last video I made, I went to a trade day, and my old wide receivers coach, his son had a table that was just, like, gnarly. And he had all those Austin Reeves. And I'm like, yo, we got to make a deal, man. And got to connect with my old coach. So, Coach Regan, it was good to see you again, man. And with that being said, Mini Regan had something for me. And it was a 2021 Optic Signature Series Austin Reeves rookie signature. Now, I know it's a sticker auto, but man, that's awesome.
That's a beaut.
And the 9, I mean, I couldn't pass it up. And for the trade that we did, I couldn't pass it up. So thank you, Mini Regan. You helped me out with all my new Hillbilly Kobe collection. Not collection, because I plan to at least try to flip these or something. All right, guys. Next, we have Mrs. Shoes. Let's get to it.
Uh-oh, I don't really know how to end this. Ladies thing. Weren't first today, Shoes. What happened?
Now, these next few cards that I'm going to show you guys have a little bit of a story with it. And I think I'll just save it for the end. So, next up, we have a 2009 Panini Prestige Steph Curry rookie card, Gem Mint 10. Very beautiful.
It's a nice one.
Very, very beautiful.
Not cheap.
Young Steph, man. He had a baby face. Junior Shoes' turn. Story time. So we had went to the Dallas Card Show on Saturday. We'd spent a majority of the day there, and then we went and took a break, went to the hotel, swam in the pool, ate some food, and then we got ready and went back for trade night. I was not ready for trade night. I think the trade nights are almost more exciting than the show itself, at least at Dallas. So we're walking around, and I had mentioned last week that Junior Shoes had bought into a break for free, basically, from this guy named Matt. And while they're doing that, Matt bought his son a break, or a 2022 Optic box. Well, he was going to open it by himself, basically. So he bought another box, and I guess just saw that me and Junior Shoes had some basketball jerseys on, and like just came and got us, and was like, hey, I want you guys to open this box with us. Like, I'll do it. Like, come on. And we're like, okay. And while we're doing that, he taps me on the shoulder. This is Matt now. Brody and Junior Shoes are doing the break, like, at the moment. They're, you know, opening, like, they're breaking it or whatever. And he taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey, man, what's his dream card? And I'm like, honestly, man, I have no idea. You'd have to ask him. And he goes over there and he asks Junior Shoes, like, hey, man, what's your dream card? And I guess Junior Shoes misheard him because he thought, what would be your dream card out of this box rip? And he's like, oh, a downtown Josh Allen. And he goes, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, we're sitting there for about 5 minutes and I'm just kind of looking and see what the kids are getting. And I'm just in awe because it's new product. I haven't seen any of it. And he comes back with this.
Oh, nice. That is a on-card rated rookie.
He's like, hey, man,
auto
give this to your son. Make sure that you guys stay in the hobby.
10.
Guys, this is a Josh Allen rated 2018 rated rookie Josh Allen autographed card with the Beckett 10. Like, holy heck. We couldn't believe it. So he's like, give it to him when I'm not here. You know, just give it to him. And then, like, about 10 minutes go by, and then he's like, actually, just hold on, just give it here. And so he takes it back from him, and he's like, hey, man, and just gives it to him. He's like, hey, man, you know, stay in the hobby. You're super awesome. You know, just stay in the hobby, dude. And we were just in awe, man. I'm going to hold it up just a little bit longer, and I'm pretty sure I'll have a picture right beside it. So when that's happening, he's Junior Shoes and I are just like, man, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm feeling good. I'm like, hey, Mrs. Shoes, why don't you go grab us a drink? And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And because at the Dallas show, they have a bar. I'm not sure about other card shows if they have, like, access to open bar, whatever. Not open bar. That'd be fucking nice. That'd be nice. But so he overhears me saying this to Mrs. Shoes, Matt, and Matt's like, hey, I was gonna go get some drinks too. Me and your wife can go get some drinks while you stay here with the boys, because his son is about Phoenix's age, which is 11. So I'm like, yeah, I'll stay here with the kids, man, no problem. And you know, they're still opening up their optic boxes, having a great time, and I'm sitting there having a great time just watching them. Mrs. Shoes and Matt come back, and Mrs. Shoes has that Steph Curry in her hand. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, well, he said for me to stay in the hobby and don't take anything less than X amount for this when I'm trading for it. I'm just like, what? Okay. So I'm like over here, like shaking this guy. I'm like, dude, Matt, thank you. And he's like, nah, man, just like, y'all just stay in the hobby. Y'all just stay in the hobby. And I'm like, okay, dude. So about 30 minutes go by, I'm like, hey, Matt, we're going to go, you know, try to trade stuff. And this, I think it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And he's like, yeah, man, you guys have a great time. And I'm like, okay, sorry. I'm just now noticing on my cameras.
Stay focused, Shoes. Stay focused. You got a great story going here, man. There you go. I helped it or not. Back to you. Let's go.
So so we go off and we're trading stuff. We're looking at stuff. And in the corner of my eye, I see Matt walking over towards us. And I'm like, oh, he must be having to go to the bathroom or something. He comes over to the table that we're at, looks down, looks over at Junior Shoes, looks down at the table again, looks up at the guy, and he's like, how much for this card right here? And the guy goes, 500. He's like, well, give it to me for 400, because I'm going to give it to Junior Shoes. And the guy's like, deal. And guys, that card is a 1962 Topps Willie Mays autograph.
That is sick. That's cool, man.
We did notice the reason why they just got the Beckett authenticated is because the beginning of his name is not quite
as some awesome lines in it. Dude. Yeah, some streaks.
Could not believe it. I was almost more impressed with this than this.
Yeah, I would be too.
And again, just told Junior Shoes to stay in the hobby and that you're awesome. So Matt and Brody, Matt, thank you guys so much for doing that for my family. I literally, I don't know what I could do to ever repay you guys other than just stay in the hobby and to keep doing it, like keep trading up and bless some kids. Like, oh, that was going to be another section of my show until, but oh well. Actually, not oh well.
Shoes, great work, man. Way to come on strong when you're sick.
Sorry, guys. I'm just
love you. Well,
I think that's it. You guys have a great week.
You too, man. That was amazing stuff there from Shoes, bringing the fire. And shout out to the Dallas Card Show, Matt, whoever you are. Hopefully we can hook up with you as well. And thank you for paying it forward to the Shoes family. If we can do anything to repay Matt, Shoes, let us know, and we will. So great work, everybody, today on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. Thank you for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Keep bringing it strong, everybody. And like Shoes says, stay in the hobby. Hit me up at paul@nooffseason.com for information on how to continue submitting to the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. For those of you out there watching and listening who have not submitted, have not reached out, this is a great gateway in to being part of a little bit more of a part of our extended family here at nooffseason.com. So email me at paul@nooffseason.com with any thoughts, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Everybody, thanks so much. Have a great day.